Good morning. It is true. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. So glad you're here. Take a moment and think about the fact that not only did we change times around today, but we're changing our lives around, starting right now. Our theme for this month is compassionate conduits. We are as individuals, the full expression of the infinite. Our center is a center that welcomes all people. You saw some of our ideas and beliefs on that opening video. And thank you, Lee Huffman, for putting that together. We are now a purely virtual center. We are no longer meeting at that location. And when and if we ever go back to meeting, we don't know where we're going to meet, but we'll find out when the time comes. But for right now, we are together right here. All across the country, we have numbers of people who join us from everywhere, and we're very grateful for that fact. Grateful that you have decided to join us whoever you are and wherever you're joining from. So thank you. We're glad you're here, and we look forward to a good time together. We are a center that honors all people. We honor all walks of life. We honor all spiritual paths, and we honor all of the individuality that you carry, and you carry it forward because that is the pinnacle of what it means to live in a oneness in the universe. Oneness is not about sameness. It's all about having the individuality that we are honored and respected and celebrated by each other. And that is a big part of what we do here and a big part of what we're about. So thank you and welcome. So I'd like to invite you to join me in looking at our Declarations of Principle. Mm-hmm. This is a portion of the Declaration of Principle that Ernest Holmes put forward in 1926, actually. It has continued to in a pretty well unedited form since then. We reread it to say, do I believe this or not? And how does this shape my life? So it goes like this. I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe in the unity of all life. I skipped one. I believe all thought is creative and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. And now we're going to hear from one of our longtime practitioners. He is someone who has been on our board. He's been a leader and in this organization since shortly after its founding. And has brought much good and much joy and much freedom to all of us with his good ideas and his creativity. So he will share with us some truth, and he will lead us in a spiritual mind treatment, and which is our form of affirmative prayer. So I give you Lee Huffman.
Thank you, Reverend Dean, Bob. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to November 2020. And for those of you who are keeping track, we have 25 days till Thanksgiving. We have 54 days till Christmas, and we have 61 days until we can see 2020 in our rearview mirror, which I think is a good thing this time, this year. I don't know about you, but just putting 2020 behind me is going to be a good thing. Although a lot of great stuff has happened, it's just been a crazy year. And so looking forward to that. And I never want to wish time away, but I'll be glad to get through that. Yeah. Due to a variety of events, though, 2019, my life was sort of thrown up in the air, and there were several decisions that I made and things like that. And when I look back, I see absolute chaos. And as all that was going on, I asked myself this strange question, which was, why is this crap happening to me? And by the end of the year, I realized that all of the chaos of 2019 was not really happening to me. It was actually happening for me. Let me say that again. The chaos, as it seemed in the events that changed my life in 2019 did not happen to me, they happened for me. Everything that occurred in order to give me the opportunity to choose every aspect of my future. And the chaos that ensued told me it was time to make those choices. And so today, Reverend Dean is going to be talking about choices. And if I wanted, I could choose everything new. And so we're going to come back to that in a moment. But that phrase, everything new, has been very special to me this last year. Before we do that, I want to share a reading from the Science Mind textbook. And so for those of you that just came out of the study class, the adult study group, it's on page 143 at the third paragraph, where our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote, "We cannot live a choiceless life. Every day, every moment, every second, there is a choice. If it were not so, then we would not be individuals. We have the right to choose what we wish to experience. We have the right to choose the kind of companions with whom we wish to associate, to say what city and in what type of house we would like to live. We are individuals, and the only way that we can be individuals is to be spontaneous." So if I look a little bit, continue this to the next page, towards the end of that first paragraph, it says, "A certain specific intelligence, a certain specific intelligent idea in mind will produce a certain specific manifestation equal to itself." That sounds complicated because we speak a little bit different today than when this was written, but let me read it again. It is, to me, it's my definition of the metaphysical definition of choice. And it says, "A certain specific intelligent idea in mind will produce a certain specific concrete manifestation equal to itself." In other words, I think if Bob was going to leave out the section so that I could put it in, all thought is creative, as we said before, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. What we think as individuals, what we say, what we choose to share with the universe manifest in our lives. Whether your thoughts are good or bad, they create your personal experience. By the end of 2019, I clearly realized that I had the ability to choose anything, to re-architect my future, to influence the universe greatly, to create a life that I desire, and so do you. One of the best ways to influence the universe is through what was a huge concept that our founder, Ernest Holmes, brought to the world. And it's called spiritual mind treatment, or treatment, as Bob said before. So for those of you that are new, Bob mentioned it is an affirmative prayer. And for example, I will affirm for myself my ability to choose and to choose wisely in the universe. And the universe, or God, if you will, responds by helping me do just that. So I'm going to lead us in a spiritual mind treatment. As I do, if any part of this prayer resonates with you, take it into your own mind for yourself. If it doesn't fit, simply let it go. So please join me in the spiritual mind treatment. Let's set up a bit. Take things off your lap and uncross your legs and arms, and let's take a deep breath and let it out slowly. Now breathe normally and listen to my words and take any of them that resonate with you, and let those that don't fit you just go on by. Know this with me, if you will. I know that there is one creator, one God, one source of everything that exists around. God, Yahweh, Allah, the universe, Christ, Lord, Spirit, Source, and so many more. Today I choose to call the Creator Source because it is the source of everything that exists. Source was the only thing that existed. It created everything that exists today out of itself. It is omnipresent, which means it is everywhere. Everyone is with Source. I am one with Source. I know that when I choose something that I want to manifest in my life, if I choose it clearly enough, if I believe it, if I trust in it completely, then what I choose will manifest for me. Therefore, in the coming days, for the rest of my life, I believe that I will make wise choices. I believe that I will choose things that will benefit me and those that I care about every day. I believe that when I am absolutely clear, Source will say yes, and what I choose will manifest in my life. So I want to be completely clear. So I will recognize and eliminate every thought that confuses and distracts me from what I desire in my life. I know that I can choose wisely. I know that Source supports me in choosing wisely, just as it supports me in making choices, the other choices that manifest in my life. Therefore, my ability to choose wisely is an important part of my life. I do choose wisely, and I know these things to be true, and I release these words of this treatment to the universe, into Source, knowing that they will manifest within my world. From this point forward, I choose what I want to manifest in my life, and I choose wisely. I close this treatment, sending these words to Source by saying, "And so it is." So thank you again, and welcome to November 2020. It's a time when we can carefully and thankfully choose out our future as individuals. A few minutes ago, I said that before a couple of crashes on my phone here, I said I would come back to the idea of creating everything new in my life. I've listened to many songs by the very talented Daniel Nemod, who actually wrote the song One Power that we just heard. And he's had a big impression on me. But one of the songs that I never heard is the one that's about to be played. And one of our lead practitioners, Doug Moody, chose the song in early in 2020. And it just grabbed me. And it became my theme for the year. That song is called Everything New. It's very powerful. So please listen to the words as Vance plays it for us now.
Bring it on, everything new, everything different, everything true. I am ready for my next thing to do. Oh, I know it's gonna be everything new. I'm through crying, I'm through waiting, I'm through hoping against all hope. I'm through longing for something gone that'll never return. To bring it on, everything new, everything different, everything true. I am ready for my next thing to do. Everything new, everything different, everything true.
2020 has been a year of everything new. We have certainly lived through that, though the new has not always appeared to be our choice. It has certainly been something we have, many of us have walked through lots of that. So thank you, Lee, for sharing that with us. And it was the internet we were giving other chances to, not you. You don't need more chances. You are perfect as you are. So don't worry about it. Anyway, so moving on. I got a long talk today, but I'm going to do it shorter because I'm going to talk fast, which is really hard for me, but we'll see what happens. Life is good. It's perfect. Have you ever thought of sitting under, standing under, or have you ever done it, a waterfall where you've just stood there and let the water beat on your shoulders and your head? And oh my God, it's so such an exciting cleansing feeling, as long as it's not, doesn't knock you off your feet from the intensity of it. Well, now imagine standing under that waterfall with a teacup, trying to catch yourself a drink of water. You can imagine if you could even keep the teacup in your hand, that would be a feat all by itself. So what you would want to do is have a little bigger than a teacup, maybe a bucket or maybe bigger. What we're about, you know, if you think of the waterfall as the goodness of life, the goodness of God, the freedom of all the things that are coming to us, what we're really about is becoming aware and conscious of our world and our lives as conduits. And by that, I mean, you, instead of a teacup or a bucket or a really big bucket or a large trash can, you become a hose, a pipe, a great funnel that brings as much goodness as you can imagine for yourself through you, into you, and out into to the world. And the beauty of it is, whereas you may seem to be different from the water in the waterfall, you're really not. Most of your body is made of water. So the conduit becomes the thing itself along with the water, the whatever moving through you. So our whole theme for this month is going to be conduit and becoming a conduit of compassion, a conduit of the goodness of God. And not because we have to become that, but because we need to become more aware of it in order to use it and exercise it and allow it, allow ourselves to be blessed and allow ourselves to grow and allow ourselves to express even greater than what we've known yet before. So one of the most powerful ways that that conduit activity happens is through choices. You know, if you consider yourself this great conduit and all the goodness is flowing through you, where it flows out to is all about what you're choosing. Because the water itself doesn't really care where it goes. It's going to go towards its own level regardless. It's spirit, life, goodness coming through us is going to do and go to its right and perfect place. But the parts that we are bringing through are going to express and go in a particular direction based on our choices. And choice then becomes a really not only an important thing, But it is really our divine birthright. It's our divine responsibility. I think divine authority is in the title today. And it, you know, you and I all have a divine authority to choose and to choose and to choose and to choose. You know, when I was a kid, I was looking for what is God's will for my life, because I thought that God, I believed in an anthropomorphic God, a God that was like an old man or an old woman or whoever in the sky, depending on my mood at the time. And so I was looking for that being, that thing's idea of what I should be, and assuming that it had an idea of what I should be. Well, in our teaching and in our understanding of spirit as the all of everything that is flowing to us and through us, the source, as Lee called it, it doesn't really care how we use it. All it cares about, and we say this every Sunday, is the opportunity to appear as you, the opportunity for life to flow through us and to come to us with ease and grace and beauty. And, you know, and it's a wonderful thing. And it's a whole lot of relief to find out that maybe my choices that I am making to my very best ability and based on what I believe is good for me and great for me is really good enough. Maybe God approves, loves, supports them. I mean, we teach that all the time. We do a spiritual mind treatment. We create those ideas and those thoughts, and that becomes the conduit, that becomes the flow through which goodness can flow. And that goodness can be compassion for ourselves, compassion for others, can be all kinds of things. But there's a lot of confusion out there and within us about choices and about finding that quote will for our lives, that things and those things which make us exciting and bring us joy and that we want to put our hearts and minds and lives to, where you want to spend your life on. And so often that choice gets made for us if we allow it. The choice that we think our families would have for us. I believed for a long time that my family, my grandfather in particular, and my grandmother and my mother, all really wanted me to become a musician. That was the thing. And if I wanted to please them, I really needed to become a musician. And I believed that, and I dove into it as a career. I played trumpet. I did all kinds of musical things. I ended up with a master's degree in church music and in choral conducting and orchestral conducting. And, you know, I never really asked them about that. I just assumed that based on a lot of things they had said. But what really mattered was I made the choice, even though I chose what I thought they wanted, I made the choice to chase that dream. And when I was almost 30 years old, I directed a combined choir of the Florida Symphony, the Central Florida Orchestra, and a mass choir of groups from all over Orlando in a Handel's Messiah. We did a big production and it was wonderful and I loved it. And when I walked off the stage, a little voice in my head said, "Okay, you're done now. You can go do something else." And I went, "What? I've spent my life on this career." But I really got clear after sitting with that voice for a while, and I trusted it coming from way within as an intuitive guidance sort of thing, that maybe I really did have other things I wanted to do. And I launched into what became a ministry, what became a different ministry. I was already in ministry. I went back to school, did all the things, you know, I did in those days. If I didn't know what to do, I'd go back to school. And I ended up in a whole new path. It chose a whole new way. And I love it. It's been wonderful. I've done a lot of different things as a result of that. So, but you know, the truth is, even though I actually blamed them for a while for driving me in that direction. The truth is I chose it and my choice played out and it went as far as it needed to go until I felt satisfied and complete. And then I could move to something else. The other way we choose quite often is unintentionally, where we just kind of do what seems to be the right next thing or next right thing. We kind of go where our life situation guides us, or where it seems, or we don't even think about it. You just do this because somebody else did it, or because we just aren't really paying attention. Thoughtlessly or unintentionally. Or I want to be this this career or this choice or treat things this way because so-and-so does. One of my favorite quotes from Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson, goes like this. There comes a time in everyone's education where one arrives at the conclusion that envy is ignorant or ignorance and imitation is suicide. We must take ourselves for better or for worse, Ralph Waldo Emerson. It's in one of his essays that we teach and that we use in part of the Emerson classes. And he's just, that idea, the first time I heard it, went, oh my goodness. So trying to be like someone else, which so many times we do, and we make so many choices along that line. I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager, I heard at least once in my life and many times probably. So if your friends all went off of a cliff, would you go with them and follow them too? Well, yeah, they're my friends. Well, imitation. Imitation is suicide. Wow. So we are all powerful, unique individuals. And when we try to be somebody else or like somebody else, we are suiciding on our real truth and our real individuality. We're killing ourselves. So stop it. I'm trying. I still fall into the pattern. Well, let's see, you're a minister, so you're supposed to wear a coat and a tie, and you're supposed to do this, and you're supposed to do that, because that's what other people do. Not always. And only if it's my true choice. So, but it is my right and divine right then to choose. See, the other thing that happens when we're in that sort of herd mentality and we're moving through that is there's a spiritual law at work there called the law of averages, where the average ideas that seem to just be flowing through the culture and flowing through the family, perhaps, or wherever you are, seems to be the right way to go. And so you just flow with it unintentionally, without paying attention. And you end up being sort of thoughtlessly moving in a direction. And it really, with the law of averages, you know, that controls how where we go. And the law of averages is the collective thought of all people for eons. So it contains some good ideas and some not so good ideas. But if we're not thinking, if we're not paying attention, and we're simply following the law of averages, it just rolls along for us. And we believe a certain number of people are going to get sick, and we believe an average number of people at a certain age are supposed to stop being vital and powerful. And we think all kinds of nonsense, all of the racism, all of those things are part of that larger law of averages. And if we fall into that and participate actively in it, then we are not helping change anything at all. Because the real evolution comes not from the law of averages, but from the laws of self-direction and guidance. Listen to what Ernest Holmes says about this. He says, the moment you step out of the ordinary ranks, the moment you step out of the procession that moves endlessly down the aisle, you are in the spotlight of evolution. Your own choice has decided you. I love that phrase. Your own choice has decided you. And you are no longer going to think as other people. Now, some people would argue that our saying those kinds of things makes us elitist. We're not. But the fact is, if you start from a place of believing in one power, only one power, not two powers, one working against the other, not two powers, good and evil, fighting out for dominance, but one power, you start from that, you're already thinking differently from the majority of people in the world. And that's okay. And that's good. So you step out of that law of averages into the law of self-direction, into the law of evolution. Evolution always occurs when species stop following the mold, when something happens that interrupts and moves it forward. And humans and human thought is no different. And we have within us the ability to do that. You say, but I don't know. How do I know what to choose? In his wonderful book, Power of Decision. If you've ever had a struggle with deciding, I have off and on for much of my life because I wanted to do the right thing, as if that same old God in the sky somewhere has a right idea for me, rather than the right thing in terms of what is in my heart, what is that which serves the love that I have, that which serves the ideas of goodness that I have. So if you struggle with that at all, Power of Decision is a great book to look at. In it, he says this: an intelligence abides in your subconscious and awaits your call upon it. You may say you don't know what to do, but at the center of your mind is the clear decision that you should make. It is right there. We say often, I don't know what to do, but something in me knows. That's what we're talking about. When you're at a decision point where you don't know what to do and you feel stuck, and yet you feel like there's a need to make a decision, simply call upon that which is within you. One of my teachers many years ago used to stomp her foot and say, there's good for me in this and I want to see it now. And she'd get really bossy with herself about those inner voices that weren't talking to her yet. Sometimes they're not talking because you're not paying attention, and sometimes they're not talking because it's not time yet. You don't always know when that is, but you trust it and you work with it whichever way it seems to go for you. Choosing because you want to be in a different place. Choosing your prosperity. How rich can you be? How much can you grow? How much can you embrace? And in choosing that and doing that, is there a teacup mentality or conduit mentality? So you get to choose. A lot of people have a hard time going past the socioeconomic level of their families. And yet, if you vision something greater, it's there for you if you are willing and able to embrace it. We have a lot of negative ideas about richness and prosperity and wealth, none of which are true, none of which are real. There's nothing evil about it. It's God's opportunity to give more and to be more and to express more. It's a rich and wonderful thing. The other way to choose is to choose thoughtfully and intentionally, where you think through an idea and you decide, is this really true? Is it really true for me? Is this really good for me? Is this really good for people I care about? Am I, you know, and that kind of intentional, thoughtful thinking brings us then into the full flow of evolution, where we're evolving into a greater species. There's a lot of talk right now about this being the time of great transformation, actually, where we are as human beings transforming into something very different than we have been in the past, simply because we can do things we couldn't do and we're living in a different way. Transformation. See, and Lee said it, the power of that kind of choosing comes from wisdom, and it comes from compassion, to really move us forward in, because what do we know? We know that the divine power, the one power there is the power of love. So to move us forward in that love is about compassion for our other people and for ourselves. How much compassion do you have for yourself for all the mistakes you think you've made? How much do you beat yourself up for them? I'm suggesting that you make your choices based on compassion. The same as you would for your child having stumbled and fallen and maybe bruised their knee, rather than punishing and demeaning yourself. Choosing compassion for yourself and having the wisdom within you to see. I've always, not always, but it's in the last 50 years, 30 years, 40 years, whatever, loved the Serenity Prayer. God grants me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things and the kicker, the wisdom to know the difference. That wisdom gives you. And where does that wisdom live? It lives inside of you because you are a conduit of wisdom, a conduit of love, a conduit of compassion, a conduit of power. So what do we do with all this thought and thinking? Years ago, in my earlier religious life, there was a quote from an Old Testament prophet that became then my motto and has been my motto, my living motto since then. And he says, the prophet is speaking to the king who's about to send all of the people off to war because they were fighting to defend their world, their lives. And the prophet says, well, some trust chariots and some trust horses. In other words, some trust external force and power. As for me and my house, we will trust the law, the Lord, the life of spirit within me, within each of us. I invite you to consider this as your motto, as your word, because the real power to get through all this chaos of these days lies within you in your thought and in the power of the infinite law and infinite mind working with you to come forward with ease, with grace, and to walk you through this time of decisions. So choose wisely, choose compassionately. And let the spirit that is life be the flow through you as you are the great conduit. So whatever your choice is, know that all spirit wants is the opportunity to appear. You're it, however you choose, and whoever you are. This is the truth. I let it be, and so it is. So if you'd like to join me for a few moments in silence and in meditation. I invite you to take a deep breath and to choose right now to trust the power of spirit within you. As Lee says, and as we say every time we treat, there is one power and only one, and one's enough. And all it is and ever has been and ever will be is an expression of that power. It is a formulated within that one field of energy and information, that universal everything, life flowing and growing. And so I settle into the recognition that all of my life, every choice I have ever made, in the eyes of the infinite, in the eyes of God, as we know God, has been good. Regardless of the seeming consequences, regardless of the pathways that it took us, we are good and it is good. And if something in you is screaming, no, it's not, how can you say that? Just love that part. Love that voice. And ask its forgiveness. As we breathe in and breathe out, the forgiveness prayer for ourselves. I accept you, Bob Dean. I bless you, Bob Dean. Put your name in that place. Our unforgiveness constricts the conduit, constricts the open flow. So the more we forgive ourselves and love ourselves, the more we can do for the world around us. the more we can be for the world around us. So today I accept the idea that my choice is made at the from the very best idea that I have of wisdom and the greatest compassion I can muster for myself and others will be the right choice for me for this right time. And should that change in the next minute, it's okay, because that next choice is the right choice as well. And so I celebrate my power to choose as that being part of my godness, part of the power that God has given me as an individual expression of itself. And so as I choose on earth, it's bound in the inner, in the world of the heavens. So in knowing this, I reach within myself for the wisdom that's there. I reach within myself for the compassion that's there. And if it seems restrictive, I simply affirm the open flow of goodness through me from the great source. This is the truth. This is my truth. And now I declare it to be God's truth. And in so doing, it is so. I let it be, and so it is. Okay. So today we're going to talk a minute about prosperity, because we talk about prosperity all the time, because prosperity is really what life's about. Not meaning prosperity in the narrow sense, but prosperity in the great sense. The great sense of life, living well and richly and freely. It is a flow, it is a circulation, and it is part of how we experience the conduit. One of our great teachers said that, money is God in action. Well, it is. All prosperity, whether it's in the form of money, joy. I had the greatest prosperity last night when a bunch of little kids came to my, not to my door because of social distancing, but outside my apartment, trick-or-treating, cute little guys, bunch of them, guys and gals both. And I got to, I went out on the balcony and threw candy at them, which was great. They were having fun catching it. I was having fun throwing it. Everybody had a great time. That was prosperity. Oh my goodness, that was a prosperous moment of love, of joy, of all of it. So prosperity comes in all shapes and all sizes. And I invite you not to get too caught up in naming it too tightly. So join me, if you will, in our prosperity celebration, which here's the affirmation. I live in an abundance, in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. I am a conduit, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly, and so it is now and forever. There are lots of ways to contribute to our center. You can donate online. You can send a check to our mailbox. All that information will be showing up in our chat. And if you have any question about how to do that or what to do with that, call me. I'll be happy to share with you how to do that. We're always in a receptive mood because we're always in a giving mood, and that receiving, giving is what keeps the flow going and keeps things moving through us and through our center. So our theme this month is living passionate conduits. And this month, I want to really emphasize that starting on November the 11th will be the next class. It's called Principles, Spiritual Principles and Practices. Now that sounds rather academic and dry. It is not. This would be an opportunity. The best way to learn the principles and practices of this teaching is to come up with your own project, goal, idea, something you want to heal, something you want to grow and change in yourself. So in the first class, we will be talking about those and looking at them. And then the rest of the class will be about applying our principles and practices to that particular project or healing or whatever you are wanting to use this for. So I invite you. The class will consist of five classes and one meeting with me, which we'll do early on to talk about that that project or that healing or that idea, and then how to apply our principles and practices. And then the other classes will be about specifically looking at different principles and practices. We'll use the book, This Thing Called You, which is one of my favorites from Ernest Holmes. We encourage people, when you read it aloud, read it as if you were reading it to yourself, or as if he were speaking it to yourself, instead of use its eyes. And we'll do that in class as well. The cost for the class is $189 for individuals, $283.50 for couples. That's an interesting price. It's the regular price plus half for the second person. So you guys can, in a couple, can decide who's worth the half. And I will keep out of that battle. However, if there's any problem with those numbers, that amount, talk to me or contact us through info@cslmidtown.org, where we can talk about a payment plan or an adjustment. So always never want to turn anyone away because they don't have the money or feel like it's too much money. So please let me know. And the class will start at, it'll be 10 a.m. or 7 p.m., 2 hours each, one, and you get to choose. Okay, thank you. Looking forward to seeing you all and those who want to participate. So don't forget to share on your Facebook accounts this broadcast. Every time you share, it spreads our reach by however many people you have as friends, plus all of their friends if they like what they see. And we want to spread this word as wide and far and as deeply as we possibly can. So thank you for your participation through Facebook. Also, you'll find us within YouTube and other places. So appreciate that. So Sunday morning discussion group happens every week at 10 a.m. That's at this same location, the same Zoom place. And we put you in a separate group and you get to Zoom away. So practitioners are here on the call, and there are others. A practitioner is someone who's trained in this teaching, who knows how to use it to support you in achieving your goals or in healing what needs healing, which is also a kind of a goal. So there's also a place on our website. You see it there, cslmidtown.org, treatment prayer request, where you can request a treatment or a prayer, and someone will do that. So we do have Lee and Maya, and I'm making a big mistake here trying to remember names of who's on the call. Judy Ailey. So there may be others. And that I missed, and I apologize if I didn't see you. So welcome. I'm also grateful for the board who's here and their ongoing support and participation in handling the physical activity of our center, the supporting all of the things that we need to do in the behind the scenes in order to provide these services for you. And so thank you, board members that are here as well. Raise your hands and wave at us. The reason I like to talk about and celebrate birthdays, not only is because it's very special for you, but it's special for us because we get to celebrate your showing up in the world at exactly the right time, in exactly the right place, exactly being what spirit has created through you as you. There's not a greater holiday in science of mind or anywhere else than your birthday. So if you are on Facebook or somewhere else and you've got one coming up in November, please hear this from me. I'm wishing you the very happiest of birthdays. May it be a day of joy and celebration, and you get to do exactly what you want to do for fun. Now, that's the truth. So let's close with our closing treatment, or our closing affirmation, it really is. And here it is. So I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding. I am grateful for the spirit that lives through me. And so it is.